You're minding your own business, studying, chilling. Then someone out of nowhere in your class just pops up and starts serving, starts helping people in the class, starts tutoring others. They're just out serving you in a sense. You think to yourself, oh man, good for them. But I need to pass my degree first before I can make an impact. Thank you very much. Do you? Can you not make an impact today? In today's episode, we have Ntabiseng Mabuya blessing the mic. She is a third-year articles clerk at AGSA, founder of Impact Initiative Empower the Youth, and a Psyker Trainee Trailblazer finalist for 2024. We talk about why, in every stage of our lives, we can make an impact and how we should start doing so today. We also chat about being surrounded by powerful women in her CA journey, what inspired her to become a woman of impact, how to find what makes you valuable in any space, her YouTube and LinkedIn series titled The APC Series by Ntabi, and of course, more. Enjoy. My travel is on the road. Guys, there's this crazy cool feature. I came across it recently. It's actually a Spotify comments feature. How crazy? Yes, guys, we have a comment section now and we are audio only. To kick our comment section off, if you have Spotify, of course, what has been one of the most interesting or just any one interesting tidbit or takeaway that you've gotten from the road to CA? I would love to know, and I'd love to hear from you in the comment section. You just scroll down if you're listening to Spotify on a mobile device, and you just add your comment. So I'd really love to hear what you think, what you've taken away, just one thing that you might have learned from this entire experience, this whole few months that we've been through. However, we're still going. So with that, onto the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inform, empower, and inspire the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, we're joined by a woman of impact. She's one of those aspiring CAs who you can see has the poise and the character of a real CASA, who puts the action in making a difference. Trials and tribulations did not and will not stop her from making that impact. Although she is, far more than her accolades, she is nonetheless a U Genius Club alumnus and UJ alumnus, having passed her ITC and APC, and is soon on her way to CASA. She is a founder of a powerful impact initiative called Empower the Youth, which is a foundation geared towards exactly that. We will definitely be chatting about that. Most importantly, she loves to sing. She loves to play pool. And in her spare time, loves to make a difference. She's a third-year CA trainee at AGSA. We're joined by Ntabiseng Mabuya. Ntabi, how are you?
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, Malunga. It is really an honor to be here joining you. And I'm good. I'm excited here for this episode.
You know I'm more excited, but it's fine. Because, man, the conversation we had earlier, before this conversation, the online one, where I didn't even see you. So funny, but it was just the wrong day. But it was the right day because we're here today.
Yes, definitely.
You have a story that's undoubtedly going to do exactly what this podcast sets out, which is to inspire aspiring CAs. Mm. Absolutely. So let's go back. This is what we do on the road to CA. We go back in time. Let's rewind back to where this whole CASA thing started for you. Where did it start?
Yo, I can say it started in grade 6. I guess.
Sure, that's back. That's far back.
It was far back, yeah. Yes. So I remember getting my report card, and maths was one of the highest marks that I've ever gotten. So I told my mom that I like numbers, I like maths. Mm-hmm. So then the question of what do you want to be when you grow up, you know, started being asked. And then I'm like, I don't know. I just like numbers. I want to do anything with numbers. So my mom's like, no, man, there's a CA thing. It has a lot of money. So, so after that, I started doing research, you know, at that young age. And when I found out what CA actually is, I got intrigued because obviously I love money.
At that young age, 13?
Yes, yes. Sure. So we did a little bit of research and then we got into high school.
Mm.
And then obviously you have to choose subjects in grade 9 for grade 10. And then I reminded my mom, no, I want to be a CA, remember? So like choose subjects for me that will lead me there. And then that's when I chose commerce, like your accounting, economics, uh-huh. business, and then pure maths, and then everything else that's compulsory. So I knew from that age, at early age 13, that I want to be a CA, and it has never changed since then.
How insane, like 13.
Yeah.
You know, I was speaking with, I spoke with one of the top students in UP last year. We recorded an episode. It's not out yet as of the time of this recording. But I remember I spoke about this idea with him, but it came to mind when you said that you started at 13. What we often do as people, but we obviously do this in the course as well, is we like to compare our day 10 with others' year 10.
Mm.
So if we think about you having started at 13, 10 years on, you've been pursuing that purpose, that vision for 10 years. When some of us, we started like we got into the course and then we were like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Definitely. Like, it's such a, for me, it's such a huge lesson in making sure that your goals and your vision have staying power.
Mm.
Because without that staying power, and that's what I realized when I failed, without the staying power of a worthy goal, you're really not going to do what it takes to go the mile.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, that's true. Mm. And I guess as I got to high school,
mm-hmm.
that's when my parents realized that I'm a person of intellect, so God has given me the wisdom and the knowledge. And they saw the leading woman in the CA field, and they thought that I'll be the best fit for that. Because they saw like a young leader in me. Mm. They saw like a person who loved helping others. Because even in high school, I would literally stay behind after every class.
Mm.
My classmates would say, can you please help us with economics or business? And I'll tell my parents, no, fetch me like at 4. I have classes. And those classes is me literally taking out a book and assisting my classmates with economics and business and all of that. And I think they saw it befitting that, you know, the CA can be something for me where I can also make an impact.
Mm.
So yeah, that's where my passion started.
Sure. That's so interesting that your parents, they could see it. Because there's also an element of foresight that one has to have. Because like, as you know now, with the, I mean, you're tired because of Women's Month events now.
Yes.
Like, there really is a burgeoning community around women.
Mm.
Especially in this profession. Can you chat with me a little bit about that? The woman community and the whole environment? Because I think like a lot of aspiring CAs need to know that there are these channels and there are these people in the profession, women, that are thriving.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the one thing that I'm blessed, you know, with is I'm surrounded by these powerful women. And I think joining the Auditor General has been the best decision I've ever made. Because when you look at women in our leading positions, our AG, Mrs. Ntsakani Maluleke, and she is basically leading us in municipality. She's leading us in parliament, as well as the firm itself. And as well as other people, you know, in the whole executive structure at AG. And basically, they groom us into being dynamites in the CA stream. You know, as a young girl, you see, you know, an African woman in a powerful position and you think that, no, mama, I want to be like, you know, that lady, I want to be like this man. And that basically is what motivated me.
Mm.
I think I remember when I was still in, like a child, I would go, my mom's a school teacher, by the way, at Tuteli City, and she would take me to a school. And at that time, she had a principal, and that principal, oh, amazing lady. And I remember writing her letter saying that, no, I want to be a teacher just like you. I want to be, you know, amazing just like you. And just seeing these figures in the positions that they hold was very inspiring. But then the one thing that my mentor told me was that in every room, introduce yourself without a title. And if you strip these women from their titles, they are human. Mm. And the one thing that drew me to them was the Ubuntu, because apart from their titles and apart from the stature that they hold, they are still women of impact without the status.
Mm.
And that's what inspired me, because now it's helping me see that you don't need a title to make an impact. You don't need a title to inspire other people.
Mm.
And that is basically the culture that I try to preserve. And that's why I love, you know, AG for that, because that's what they nurture in you. That's what they groom inside of you and all of that. So, yeah.
How would you, obviously, like, there's no prescriptive advice, but how would you advise from your perspective a student lead that same philosophy? Because I think, especially as students, you feel like you don't have value to give yet. You feel like you need to wait for CASA to make the difference. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. I also had that mentality. Hey? Mm-hmm. I also thought that, yo, no one will listen to me or no one will take me seriously. I'm not a CA. Like, I thought that I'm just a person without a status.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to literally draw myself back to myself very quickly and realize my purpose. So like I mentioned, in high school, I would tutor my peers, my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, you're getting good marks in this subject. Can you please help us?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stay behind. And then when I got to varsity, I became a Tutuga mentor. So I'm a Tutuga alumni as well.
Mm-hmm.
I became a Tutuga mentor. And I was still doing second year. But then I was mentoring the first years who just came in varsity. Because I know it's very difficult bridging the gap between matric and varsity.
Yeah,
and that's the role that I played. And then when I got to third year, I started mentoring second years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to CTA, obviously third years was my target. And then CTA was also, I was mentoring my peers, sharing study notes here and there. And then when I got to my first board exam, I decided that, okay, I'm going to be a CTA mentor. So everywhere I went and every level I passed, I would help the next person.
Mm.
So I didn't wait for the opportunity to be created for me. I instead reached out to people to say, hey, if you're struggling, you can reach out to me. These are the tips I can share with you.
Mm.
I think the one thing that I really appreciate is having resilience and having the passion to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drives me.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people wait for an opportunity like, where you're going to get paid, you know, to do these things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even about the money. I get fulfillment in helping the next person, because I realize that there's a motto like saying, when I go to different schools, when I give motivational talks, I always say that you can accumulate so much success and can be great, but it's of a greater magnitude when you empower people, you know, around you. So don't wait for that status. Don't wait for the platform to be created for you. Because while you are in your craft and helping other people, you don't know who's looking. You don't know who is going to give you an opportunity or platform that you need. So work on building your brand, work on building, you know, your future, and just be the person that you would have wanted to see, you know, in a position.
You said you had to, when you had those limiting beliefs that said, no, I can't, you had to get back to yourself.
Yes.
I feel like that's the statement. Get back to yourself. You need to soul search. And that's, I think, where the most value comes.
Mm-hmm.
When you are able to see, because we all have that inherent value, but we need to see what value we can give to others. We need to see our part in the value creation process. Because you know that diagram with the six capitals going in, and you have value creation in the middle,
yes,
and then the six capitals coming out. I think when we can conceptualize these things in real life, you are something. You put something into a process in the value chain. You put something in, and you are one of the cogs that process those things. So in the case of, let's say, okay, I can speak from, I guess, my perspective. In the case of a podcast, I have relational capital because I'm in a class with other accounting students. Mm. And when I take that relational capital and I process it via, obviously, the mics and obviously my mind and my ability to connect with people, and I process that, and we're able to give intellectual capital in the form of these lessons, in the form of frameworks that I craft and that we craft. And I remember one of my friends came and he shared his learning pyramid framework for study approach. Mm-hmm. When we are able to do that, when you're able to get back to yourself, you can see where you can add value.
Definitely.
You know?
I definitely agree with that.
And you did that because, like, you've been tutoring your friends for a while. Mm. You've been doing it since you were 14. You were there, small, just studying hard. Mm. And then you could give back. On that, you do a YouTube channel. What is it on? And can you just chat with us about what value would an aspiring CA listening to this get from that?
So I started an APC series. So the APC is the second board exam you must write before you qualify as a CA.
First ITC, then APC. You know, APC is changing though, hey?
Yes.
Now it's IAC. I don't even know what it stands for.
Yes, the IAC is for the first board exam. Because ITC is now changing into IAC.
Okay, so it's ITC that's changing into IAC.
IAC, yes, okay, okay, yes, yes, okay. Yes. And then, so I started it because obviously I always had a passion. Like I said, from my chick, I've been mentoring people. And then when I finished ITC, obviously I tutored people who are doing ITC. Now I completed APC in 2023. I got my results now in February 2024. And then I just realized that, no man, I've arrived, but I haven't arrived. I've only arrived if I help other people get to where, you know, I have arrived at the destination. So then I decided that, no, let me start a YouTube channel, right? But before I even thought of that, I volunteered to be an APC mentor, you know, in my business unit. And I started getting mentees. And they said, you know what, the insight that you have is valuable, right? So then I realized that I started getting a lot of common questions. And then I said, you know what, let me create a platform where everybody can be helped with these questions and answer them on a public platform where you can help people collectively. Mm. And that's where the YouTube channel idea started. And the first few episodes, I basically prepared according to what I hope I would have seen on YouTube. Because when I was doing APC, there was very little content on APC. You know, and I realized that there was a gap between the actual APC content we are seeing on the Saika websites, as well as YouTube, right? It's not going in depth. It's not giving the crux of the matter and what I actually need help with. For example, your ethics questions. Mm. I struggled with answering ethics questions. And if I searched APC ethics questions, I didn't get an answer, right? I would get maybe like an overall approach on how to, you know, approach APC. Mm. And I realized that there's certain things that are not covered in depth. So that's why I started making videos on maybe strategic considerations. Mm. You know, when you win, they ask you in finance, what are the qualitative considerations, you know, apart from the quantitatives, right? The numbers. What is the story behind the numbers, right? Mm. So I started going in depth with regards to that. And then I started creating a platform on the channel where I would ask the viewers to give me suggestions on what content they want to see. Mm. So then they would ask questions or requests in the comment section. And then I realized that some of them were shy. So I created a Gmail account specifically for people who don't want to actually, you know,
comment.
So I created an email address where candidates can just reach out to me. And I've been getting, a lot of requests on a daily basis, right, with the content that they want to see. And my videos are solely based on what candidates are asking me. So what I tried to do was start the YouTube channel in line with the board courses that are currently running. So when they started early in March, and that's when I roughly started with my idea of APC. Mm. And then I rolled it forward fully in May. And then now that's why I'm able to get feedback like in real time, mm-hmm. because they're currently writing board course assessments and all of that. So when they are writing, they tell me, hey, an assessment is coming up. Can you quickly just cover, you know, the section mm-hmm. for the APC test so I can get assistance with regards to that? And that's where my content is truly inspired. And I get candidates from various firms, the big four, and the two main ones. One is from Zimbabwe, one is from Namibia.
Wow.
And they asked me to be their mentor, you know, to assist them on the journey. And I'm just like, everybody asks me, how much do you charge? And I'm like, no, I don't charge anything. It's for free, because I know how much it is to just go through that APC journey. It's brutal. But then just to have that buddy, you know, in place is really helpful. And I think that's the fulfillment that I get to just help other people.
Mm.
And right now I'm sitting on 700 subscribers, which I'm truly grateful for.
Hey, guys, go subscribe. Yo, it's Hope Mabuya on YouTube, right?
On YouTube,
it'll be linked in the show notes anyways. Go subscribe.
So the content that I cover, yes, the cover will say APC series. However, it's applicable to CTA, ITC, and APC candidates, including also BAC, you know, BCom and accounting as well, because strategic considerations are covered in every paper.
Literally on Monday, I wrote a test that was like 15 marks. Or rather, that was like 25% of the paper.
Yes, yes. They are covered. So in that video, I will cover like the risks to look out for, the things to basically consider when you're asked that question. And then including something like the ethics. I have an ethics video out there, part one and part two, where I cover what to look out for in the CPC, because we have these like handbooks, but sometimes it's very difficult to use them, you know? So I give a roadmap and guide you on how to actually use the CICA handbooks to answer an ethics question. And I break it down in as much detail as I can. And on top of that, in the video, I still say, if you have questions, the comment section is open, or you can email me and I basically answer any request from there.
And now you mentioned, I remember now some CTA students and ITC candidates also reaching out to you, right?
Yes, yes. So I'm a CTA mentor and ITC mentor as well. So I try to interact with them as best as I can. I will currently be hosting a CTA class beginning of September, where I send a link out. I'll also advertise it on my LinkedIn, where CTA candidates, we're going to meet in one class where they share the concerns, and maybe I will see how I can help them and how to approach certain things so that we can just bridge that gap and make sure that, you know, they pass at the end of the year. Because I know finals are coming now, late October, beginning of November, somewhere there. So we're just trying to just address the core issues that are a problem. And yeah.
Is it in person or is it online?
No, it's online.
It's online. Okay.
Yes.
That'll be linked in the show notes. You just make sure you send me all those links. Guys, that's I think that's it's for me, the huge thing is community. That's the huge thing. Because it's not that you don't know how to learn a topic. It's that you don't have the longevity and the consistency, which a community provides. And so when you have these people around you that are getting you to think accounting, and that's why I love this podcast, because every week you must come and you must think accounting. This thing, it helps you, and there's so much content. You can binge it if you want, but there's so much that just keeps you in the mode. You know what I'm saying? You experienced crazy struggle.
Yeah.
In your academic journey. Can you go back to that time that you struggled and share with us whatever you're comfortable with? what happened and how you managed to get through it, because it's not something that just ends. Yeah. Can you share with us that?
Let me take it back to...
To be continued in part 2. See you next week.